Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
I watched the Knicks overcome a 25-point deficit and win the game.
This is my nightmare.
It is kind of a nightmare. Knicks night. Not that good. It is Knicks night. What happened? I was still going. I had a whole verse about the Bulls ready to go.
Yeah, I'm done with it.
Oh, boy. Well, there's a half hour of show prep out the window. Thanks a lot, Tyshirt. Appreciate
You're welcome.
It. Yeah.
Couldn't have been any more than 4.5 minutes. What the hell are you talking about?
But writing a song, Mike, you think big songs just happen? You need a good half hour to write lyrics for songs.
So I figured we wouldn't have heard it until after Fenley's next update.
Come on. Yeah. See, I mean, look, Axl Rose probably needed, you know, probably 8 or 10 minutes to write the lyrics to Sweet Child of Mine. I mean, give me a good half hour, I'll give you some songs.
Well, I had some years of hard living and some relationships in a weird spot to get to that 10 minutes, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing, that in music, right, just to say this, because I've been wanting to say this for a while now, after going through the best of lists of the 2021 in music, what did I miss, any bands, new bands, everything else. Every new band that ever gets recommended to me on Rolling Stone or Vulture or whatever it is, I read the same things. And incredibly catchy hooks that are radio friendly. And I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds good. And they listen and I go, these are all filler songs. These are never songs that would get played on the radio. Everybody is so, I don't think, because music has been so, has evolved so much, I don't think critics now can identify what a catchy hook is. Or they spend way too much time on, oh, the lyrics to this song. Look at the lyrics. Think deep. The lyrics can be anything to a song. They could be anything. It could be about going to Target. It doesn't matter. But no, if you're telling me the lyrics are so great, it means the song stinks. Okay? So, you know, it's about the music and the words can be anything.
Okay.
They can be anything. I don't sit. You don't sit in your car and sing songs.
Bernie Taupin is going to come kick your ass.
That's a great. What did it take Elton John? How long to rewrite "Candle in the Wind" for?
No, wait a minute. You can't just take one song out of hundreds and just say, "All right, he changed a few lyrics and people got pissed off and it became this big hit and whatever else." No, that's one.
But you brought up Bernie Taupin. I think they were on the phone for like 5 minutes. Okay, goodbye, England. Okay, great.
Okay, right, that's great. Fine. I'll dismiss the original work.
No, the original work is great. But I'm telling you, how long does it take to write a song? I could write a song. I could write a rap song in about 8 minutes. I just got to find words that rhyme.
Will it be any good?
Sure, it will be. I'll just use the same beat all the way through. That's why.
Can I just ask, in the write-ups you were reading about the new music, did they all say, hey, kind of reminiscent of Led Zeppelin?
No. It's like, oh, this is for anybody who would like Deep Purple meets Lil Wayne meets Billy Ray Cyrus meets, I'm like, oh, what are you doing with this? Really, I don't think people who review music know anything. I'd be a great music reviewer. I would say, hey, that song rocks. Boom, buy it, listen to it, and I'm done. There you go.
Well,
I'll give you great songs.
We've talked about this between the movie reviews of David Gascon last night and now you with your music reviews made done in 30 words or less. That's it. We move on. I like it. The economy of wordsmithing. And that's funny because we've now gone 3 minutes without talking about the Knicks.
I forgot. Hey, I forgot. Oh, thanks for bringing me back to the topic.
Blew it! No, I had to. I had to because I have some fun stats that people are going to go, what the hell? So, yeah. Especially if we have the sound of that crazy-ass finish.
I got stats. You know, that was a line that never worked with me with girls. Hey, I got stats if you need them. Like, what do you mean stats? Like, you have no idea what Evan Fournier did tonight. Who's
none
Evan
of the
Fournier?
Point? Look, if they had to ask what the stats were, they weren't on the same wavelength.
I got stats for you.
It didn't necessarily have to do with the box score. If you just said, I got stats, and they gave you the knowing nod, that was it. It's go time.
Can I buy you a drink? Because I got stats for you. Like, what kind of stats? Oh, I got a stat on Jonathan Taylor. Woo! You are going to say, oh, my goodness. Buy me one more drink and I'm yours. Oh, yeah, I got Jonathan Taylor stats. I got Keenan Allen stats that you're just going to swoon and you may faint over.
Stop stealing Keenan off Frostberg's desk or looking at his paper.
But, yes, the Knicks overcome a 25-point deficit to the Boston Celtics tonight. It is an insane game, the largest comeback in 17 years when the Knicks trailed by 26 against the Bucks. And Giannis, okay, Giannis wasn't playing then, but it sounds better to say that. They overcome a 25-point deficit. They have the ball in the final seconds, and everybody's All-American, R.J. Barrett, who was 3 for 14 on the night, had the ball, and this is how it ended.
5 seconds to go here in Super Bowl 17. Dolphins trailing the 49ers by one. This will win the game for Miami. There's the snap. Marino holds the kick. And it's wide. Oh, no, it's no good. Ray Finkel blew a 26-yard field goal. I don't believe it. The Dolphins lose. The Dolphins lose.
Tyshir, what's the courtesy for that?
Dolphins Radio Network.
It is. Oh, Dolphins Radio Network on the call. I mean, who could forget? It was really very difficult. That was very tough. But with just seconds remaining, R.J. Barrett with the ball. The Knicks and the Celtics tied at 105. You can hear the Madison Square Garden crowd roaring in the background. This is how the game ended.
Luis la pone en el suelo, sigue Luis. Luis dispara bombazo de tres, falla y el rebote es para los Lakers y un segundo, se acaba el tiempo extra, victoria para el equipo de Los Ángeles. Especialmente en una serie como esta, hay que anotarlo desgraciadamente para el novato Connie Lee.
I believe that was the Fox Sports Deportes on the call, and I think I heard the Lakers, and I think I heard Courtney Lee, right?
Yeah.
Was that the finals game when Lee missed the layup at the end?
Maybe.
Or the Magic? Oh, how about me picking that out? I'm hot already tonight. That was the Courtney Lee missed layup
game. You pick out keywords. It's like, wow, you really understand foreign languages. Nah, I just did a process of elimination based on hearing the terms Lakers and Lee.
That was the end of what game? It was like game three of the finals in 2008, and the Lakers are going to win, and the Magic inbounded the ball, and it crazily got to Courtney Lee, like right under the basket, and he went up and he missed, and it was like rolled off the rim. I remember the look on Kobe Bryant's face like, oh, come on, man. We almost lost that game. All right, so without further ado, here on Fox Sports Radio. Remember, real credit card questions require real people. Someone who understands your issues, works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. As we discover how this game ended tonight. Knicks, Celtics, tied at 105. Knicks with the ball and seconds remaining.
Here we go. Far sideline, half court left. 1.5 to go. Tie game at 105. To Barrett.
Oh, wait, stop. Wait, stop. Oh, so this is the real one now. I thought there'd be more. Oh, okay. I was expecting
something
else.
No, man, we got to keep the line moving, man. Okay. We got right, 3 minutes of you trying to be a half-assed music critic. We had to move on.
Like a rhinestone cap. Okay, so here it
number
is.
Number one hit in any era right
105, 105. Seconds remaining.
Tom Moore then at Indianapolis, the offensive coordinator. You got a bucket.
Here we go. Far sideline, half court left. 1.5 to go. Tie game at 105. To Barrett. One dribble. Right wing three for the win. Baker is good. He banked it in. Barrett banked it in. And the Knicks have won the ball game at the buzzer. They're mobbing Barrett at the table. Unbelievable. The fans going crazy. R.J. Barrett gets the inbounds, fire drill, lets it fly at the horn, and banks it in for the right wing. And the Knicks over the Celtics, 108-105 at the Garden.
And the Knicks carrying Spike Lee off the court right now. He is incredibly happy. The greatest moment of Spike Lee's career. He's being carried out saying, no one told me, no one told me. What a big night for the Knicks here at MSG.
just an impressive win, right? Down 25, getting bludgeoned. You got the showcase, Fournier with a huge night. Jason Tatum still doing crazy things. And in my timeline are all the, I still can't believe that guy's just 23. That's right. He's just getting warmed up. But you look at the shot. I mean, you couldn't have defended it any better.
No, I mean, come on.
Unless Mutombo came flying by and swatted it. I mean, obviously, the block shot is the only way to better defend it. But, I mean, he's got him blanketed. He's falling away. He's been awful all night, right? To that point, he was 3 of 14.
Oh, yeah. He was terrible.
And up it goes.
Yeah, that's it. Look, there's nothing you can – look, when you bank it in at the buzzer, what else can you expect? It's like, okay, it happened. I'm really pissed, and we're going to put it away and try again another night. But, you know, look, with this win now, the Knicks improved to 38-9 on the season. And
whoa.
What? You said you had stats. I got stats. Knicks are 38-9 now.
Did you come from an alternate universe? Have we entered No Way Home?
Yes, I did. I did. When Doctor Strange created those – sorry, spoiler alert. When he created the – it's in the trailers. When he created the parallel universes, I went to one where the Knicks are good. It took me about 50 or 60 different Earths to get there, but I finally got to one where the Knicks are good and make the playoffs.
Okay, who looked more tired? Tobey Maguire in No Way Home or Matt Damon in the Crypto.com commercial?
Ooh, I'm gonna go with Matt Damon in the Crypto commercials. It's Matt Damon. Tobey Maguire just looked way older than everybody. Tobey Maguire's in No Way Home. He just looked a lot older than everyone, and I'm saying to myself, it's supposed to be the same time he was fighting as in the original movie, which was 20 years ago. Wait a minute, hang on a second. They needed to address that he looked that much older than everybody else.
Well, you know,
you need to address that.
That's okay. You leave it for the next one.
Yeah.
Because you can always circle back. Wait, was there enough criticism of that? Okay,
yes.
Then make a movie about it. Go.
Then there'll be One Way Home or Two Ways Home or Three Ways Home. How about that? Home Sweet Home. Motley Crue can do the song.
Bling, ding, ding, ding. I mean, since the tour has been indefinitely delayed, you know, the one that wasn't supposed to happen again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
After I shelled out all that money to go to that final. Anyway.
Yeah, David Lee Roth retired now is nowhere.
Again!
I know. He's like Jordan. I'm out. I'm back. I'm out. I'm back. No, but look, this is the thing about the NBA right now. And look, I tell you that once you get to game 40, everybody's kind of who they are, right? If you're a team that's really good at game 40, you're going to be really good at the end, right? The Bulls are really good now. They're going to be good at the end. The Nets are good now. They're going to be good at the end. But there's going to be a couple of teams, and I'm praying the Knicks are one of them, obviously, but there's going to be a couple of those teams that turn out like the Hawks did last year, where maybe they don't play incredibly great during the season, but they peak at the end and into the playoffs. Because there's going to be at least one of those teams in each conference that maybe because of the way the schedule is, hey, you know, we just had 3 games in 7 days. We played the Nets, the Bucks, and the Bulls, and the Warriors. You know, so maybe you don't see it in the record, and it's maybe a little bit, they're just a little bit above 500, but there's going to be a couple of those teams that can put stuff together and say, hey, we can make a run here. You know, it's not just the top couple of teams in each conference. And you know what? The Knicks are talented enough to do it. The Knicks are clearly talented enough to make that run and be one of those teams. And they just have to figure out the right way to not piss off Tom Thibodeau and to figure out how to play defense and get enough offense. But the Knicks can be one of those teams. The Knicks and the Nuggets are the two teams that can do that. Those are the two teams I look at that say who's underachieving now that can give you a run later on. Knicks, I'll give you one team from the East, one team from the West. Knicks and the Nuggets are both of those teams.
Truly a curiosity right now. I mean, on the broadcast, they were talking about Jaylen Brown and Ben Simmons and all these people, you know, the rumors of whether Portland moves McCollum and or Lillard, all of those things. I mean, there's still some seismic shifts potentially here and guys coming back off injury. I just wanted, before we close on your Knicks, because you're all excited, RJ Barrett, the first Knicks player to make a game-winning three-point buzzer beater since Stevie Francis. Yeah, Steve Francis.
Wow.
On March 10th. 2007.
No way. It wasn't Steve Novak? I mean, Steve Novak had to have done that at some point.
And get this. Knicks were 1-229 when trailing by 25 or more points in a game over the last 25 years. That's from David Bierman, or Behrman, ESPN, at D Behrman, B-E-A-R-M-A-N.
Hey. I'll tell you.
And Tracy Morgan was fired up after that shot.
Nobody beats the Knicks 226 times in a row when they get down 25. Eventually, they're going to find their way back. I feel like I get one from last night because Syracuse blew an 18-point lead and lost, and now I get the Knicks who come back from 25 down.
See, all's even again.
I'm even now. That's how it goes.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now, nobody better, and I mean there is nobody better in the world. NFL on Fox insider, longtime friend of the show. He's on Twitter, at Jay Glazer. It is the aforementioned Jay Glazer. Jay, what's happening, man?
How you doing, man?
Hey, buddy.
Buddy, this Antonio Brown thing, I feel like I need cliff notes for it. Every day is something.
Wait. Don't ruin it for me. I got the whole thing on TiVo.
Oh, you it's like a Netflix limited series at this point.
Oh, wait. Yeah. It's like Cobra Kai for me. Like, I just don't ruin it. I got from Sunday till now, I haven't seen anything. Don't ruin it.
All right. I won't ruin Cobra Kai. I'm in the middle of the fourth season right now. I won't ruin it for you.
Oh, I love Cobra Kai. Yeah.
But I will say this.
So listen, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'll because it's something I want to tell you. The Jets go for it on fourth and two, and they don't make it. That's how it ends. All right, there you go. Now you can say what you want to say.
No, look, there's a lot of things obviously at play here, and you know, there's the mental health aspect. There's the Bruce versus AB and AB versus the world aspect. And look, as far as I'll say this, mental health wise, because unfortunately, I don't know if we say qualified or whatever it is, but man, I think anybody who plays at this level, you got a certain monster you have in the box. And the monster for me, it sucks and it's a bad deal for me to deal with, but it also is what motivated me to get to where I am. So in order to be great, you got to be crazy at a certain level, okay? Whether at least the two sports I'm around, which is football and fighting, man, you're a different cat. If you go and take that football, ram your head against people over and over and over and over at this level, you got to be off going in. To take three steps up into a cage or a ring, something's off about you going in to begin with. Now, when I say this, it's not just AB. It's most of the league and how you handle that monster. There are guys that you would think are the most put-together dudes in the world. And I know from what we talk about is, man, that monster is constantly trying to get out of that box. And when you're on a team, right, and I have a lot of manic episodes of Fox, but they're my team. And when I am having episodes and a Kurt Menefee or Howie Long will go, hey, the sky's not falling. You're doing this and this, this. I've got to take accountability on myself. And I've got to say, okay, I got to be there for my team. I can't let the monster ruin my team. So the monster's there for a lot of us. It can't ruin our team. Now, as far as Bruce versus AB, it is a little mind-boggling to me, and this is not my relationship with Bruce Arians. It's mind-boggling where you have one guy in AB who, and again, I am sensitive to AB's mental health struggles or illnesses, whatever you want to call them, minor illnesses, right? And that leads to struggles. I'm sensitive to it, but it's, again, how we deal with it. And you have one guy, Bruce Arians, who's been coaching since Bear Bryant and really is kind of a king of inclusion. And the first guy who's trying to give people chances and hope and gals now on the coaching staff. And when you're kind of looking at the two of them, first of all, playing hurt, man, it's your honor to play hurt. At least I coach my guys, my fighters, my football players at Unbreakable to be honored that you play hurt. If I got, like, last year I tore my labrum and two rotator cuff tears, and, man, I would never let on to anybody. It was my honor that I can go spar someone with a torn labrum. I wasn't looking at, like, man, these guys are such you-know-whats for making me spar with a torn labrum. That's my honor. It's a different level. See, I'm not playing high school football. And – you know, the fact that, let's just say this. Tom Brady playing with a torn MCL last year. I didn't see AB or anybody else complain about him playing hurt last year. Right? He was never upset about that. Right? But now all of a sudden he's so upset about being asked to play hurt. It's the NFL. This is what you do. You play hurt. And I know, like, mental health. So it's so weird. Like, when I train guys at Unbreakable, I am always showing them, don't ever show it. I have a thing called neutral face. Don't show it. Don't show it. Don't show pain. And let's ramp our own breaking point up on people. But mental health-wise, I say show it all. Be vulnerable. Tell it all. Be, you know, cry when you need to. Do whatever you need to. So they kind of don't run they don't run parallel to each other. They run more perpendicular. They don't they clash, if you will. And, you know, my thing here is for everybody to be saying, well, you know, AB says this and Bruce Arians said that. I'm just saying, man, you got one guy who has had issues with four teams and another guy who's been – who's given him and so many others chance after chance after chance after chance. It's kind of mind-boggling that so many are attacking Bruce Arians in this. To attack Bruce Arians in this is so mind-boggling.
Yeah, I think, Jay, for some of it was off the jump of the post-game presser and certainly everybody trying to figure out what was going on. And so they call Bruce to task for that. Can you corroborate that?
Yeah, but, wait. But Bruce did talk. He talked to me. Sorry that right. They're mad that he only talked
sure.
to me.
No, I get that.
You're mad about that.
No, right? And that's just
and
it, right?
It's relationship. He talked to Peter King.
No, sure.
Relationship talked to me business. He talked to Peter King. And it's a relationship-based business. You shouldn't crucify a guy because he decided to talk to people he felt comfortable talking about. And by the way, Bruce said to me, I'm talking to you because you get this stuff. And when he said this stuff, he meant the mental health stuff.
Sure.
And the entire time Bruce said, hey man, I will tell you this. I'll tell you this straight out. He said, do you think you could help him? And I said, no, because I don't think he understands his end of the problem yet. And there, when I was training Alden Smith, Alden said, hey, I've talked to AB. I said, what do you think? He said, not there yet. Like a lot of these guys that I try and help, you got to hit rock bottom of your own, or you have to know your own accountability. Like Kurt Menefee just had a talk with me last week as I came out of COVID and called me on the carpet for something. And it hurt, but I had to hear my own account. Like I have to be accountable for my own monster that's in the box, my demons, my stuff that affects the rest of the team. And in the end, it's got to be about my team. It can't be about me. And as much as crazy as like my crazy stuff makes me so paranoid and unloved and feeling the world's against me. And I'm sure, I'm not sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if AB has a lot of that himself. And it's a crappy way to go about life. But in the end, man, I love my team. So I've got to suck up what I have to either get help to help the rest of my team or look inside myself to help the rest of my team because we're flawed people. Like, I'm not – like, I'm a damaged, effed up dude. I am, but I'm good with my effed upness, if you will.
Well, I mean, I saw up, the video, like to bring it up, Jay. I mean, what you posted on Twitter. I mean, and then the follow up of finding the love in that community that reached out for the virtual hug, you know, from from your deck there. I mean, you know, as we talk about all this and try to literally wrap our arms around it, in some cases, I mean that was a very powerful thing. So I'm glad you felt that resonance from the community that trusts
you.
Well,
I'm feeling
it.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. And it's still foreign to me. Like, it's so funny. I reached out Rick Jaffe, who was my first producer at FoxSports.com and Fox Sports Net when I first signed there. And he just kind of gave me a, hey, I love you tonight. And I said, man, I don't know why you love me. Because I used to jump you guys so bad. And yet you guys, and I said, I jumped you so bad. Because I was just always so – I felt so unworthy, and I was always so afraid that everything was going to get taken from me and the world's against me. And I said, and yet you're still here. This is tonight. And he said, yeah, I'm still here because you care about us more than you care about anybody else. And for me to hear these things, it's so foreign to me because what my monster in my box tells me. And meanwhile, here I am today. You know what I felt great today? There's a guy named Mark Kerr. Mark, the smashing machine. First ever UFC heavyweight champ in the world. Here I'm coming off COVID, and Mark and I wrestled and sparred today. And Mark punched me in the face about 40 times, and I was so happy today. That's off. You want to talk about issues? Like, the only thing that makes me happy is a 285-pound dude is punching me in my face, and I'm like, this is great, because I feel like I deserve it. Like, oh, my God, I felt so alive. That's off. That's issues. Now, you want to talk about crazy? That's crazy. But I've got to work to make sure my crazy does not take down the rest of my team. So if all of a sudden my boss said something to me and I got pissed off on Fox and I walked off in the middle of my show, how would y'all take that?
How would they take it?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Okay? Well, and also, if you guys walked off on your show, we can't do that. Yet, everybody here is sitting there going, gee, Antonio Brown versus Bruce Arians. If you put it this way, if your job, your boss tells you to do something, you tell him to F off, and you just walk off the job, nobody else has a job. No one's compassionate for you. But here we are compassionate for AB because he can play football. But, man, it's Tom Brady moved that cat out into his house, and Alex Guerrero is the sweetest dude in the world, and here he is putting Alex Guerrero on blast. And we're still arguing about this? Like, come on, man. It's. I'm not saying Bruce ain't flawed. He is. That's what makes him great. But there's got to be an accountability at the end when you're like, I'm out. And again, AB, when he played for Pittsburgh, that dude wouldn't miss time for anything. Like, you don't miss time. Like, that dude, I will say this about AB, he is as tough as they come. He is a warrior. That dude was never, like, if he was ever questionable, Mike T would be like, it's AB. You know he's going. Ain't no worry about that. And all of a sudden we're having this conversation here today where we're questioning Bruce Arians' ethics versus Antonio Brown's ethics. It's mind-boggling.
Jay, let me take you back lastly to what you said a couple minutes ago about how Bruce Arians asked you if you could help him, and you looked into it, and right. You know, you talked to Alden Smith and said he couldn't do it.
No. I talked to this. The Alden conversation was when I was training with Alden.
That's when the Raiders.
That's when the Raiders thing was going down. I think
the cryotherapy or and all that. Yeah,
or when he left Pittsburgh, or no, I think it was when he left Pittsburgh because it was the off season.
Okay. So, well, what tells you when?
It was an off season. But literally, even after all this, Bruce said, "Can you help him?" And I said, "Man, I hope I can." So, AB, I would love to help you. I would love to. But anybody, like when I sat with Lane Johnson, okay, the reason I sat with Lane Johnson is because Lane said, "Hey, man, I need to talk about everything." I said, "Yeah, Lane, this isn't a PR thing, dude. Like, we're not doing this for PR. This is mental health. These are lives. This is real. So if we want to do this, we're going to do this so we can save lives." And he's like, "I won't hold back anything. I know my part, and I'll put it all out there." And, like, I think, like, you guys know, obviously, you see how much I talk. I think I asked 4 questions. Lane just talked. He was honest. He was raw. He was vulnerable. There is strength and power and vulnerability. It's not strong and not powerful when you don't take accountability and make excuses for your own effed upness. And we've got to do that. Like, man, it's all of us. I'm just telling everybody there who's listening to this, you're going through some stuff. I could promise you this. Talk to your friends about it. Be honest, and it will bring you closer together. It'll bring you closer together. This year I went down to the Super Bowl because I was in a rut. Obviously it was the Super Bowl, but I also went down to meet with one of my all-time best friends, Rondé Barber, and this guy Ben Heldfund, who's in our crew, and Brian Radigan. It's like our crew forever and forever and ever and ever. And I needed some help. That's why I went to the Super Bowl. And I literally sat with these 3 guys. I'm like, listen, y'all know I've been crazy, but I don't think you understand the pain I've been in. And my pain for this year, for some reason, has gotten out of control. And our relationship has gotten so close as a result. They didn't judge me. They didn't tell me to man up. I've taken responsibility for my issues and I've caused those guys some grief too. Like, I've caused them grief. I've caused issues. I've got to take that responsibility. And so everybody else out there who's listening to this, I promise you, if you talk to your crew, your husband or your wife or your friends or whatever, and you just you take your own accountability and responsibility, it will get you closer. I'm not promising you that the darkness will go away, or bipolar or depression or anxiety will disappear. But what I am promising you is that you'll get closer together and you won't have to walk this walk alone and suffer by yourself in silence. And that's where I was telling Bruce, like, he's got to see his own end of this in a bigger way. It's got to kind of be more on him. And, you know, look, when he takes all the responsibility on himself, then actually others will be even more sympathetic. But it's scary to think that, man, I could just pull my skin back and show people how messed up I am, and that they'll still actually like me or love me or admire me. It's, you know, and again, for me, it's such a foreign feeling to consider that. And I have such guilt for the carnage that I cause so many other people. But I have that guilt. AB needs to feel the pain that he caused other people and get the help, because he deserves the help. The bottom line here, too, is even after all this, Bruce Arians, like, looked at, like, he deserves to get that help. But we got to be the ones to come from the inside out for that help.
There is nobody who fights the gray harder than Jay Glazer. On Twitter, at Jay Glazer. Anything you need, he'll answer your questions, inspiring things there. Yep. Again, everything is there at Jay Glazer. Unbreakable,
hey Jay,
everything else.
Yo, don't forget to say happy birthday to your Uber driver for us, okay?
Yes, absolutely. No doubt, man. Happy birthday to Howie Long, baby.
All right. And he's got time now. He knows how the Jets game ended. He's got time. He doesn't have to watch it anymore. Jay, as always,
appreciate you, buddy.
Keep fighting the good fight, man. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great one.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. But as promised, we said it a couple of seconds ago. Indiana, the big win over Ohio State tonight. They win it 67-51. Joining us now on the hotline, Indiana head coach Mike Woodson. Coach, congrats on the big win. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Hey, I was just talking to Mike, and I said, you know, we're going to come on and talk about Indiana, but I'm the biggest Knicks fan in the world. I wanted to talk to you all about the Knicks for the next few minutes, too. So hopefully you have a good half hour or 45 minutes for us.
Well, I had a nice talk with Tibbs tonight. That was a big win for the Knicks. Well, I walked through the door as they were hitting the game winner. So that was kind of nice to see.
Crazy comeback. I mean, they had so many struggles. But for you guys tonight, a big win at home, big 16-point win with a huge second half, Coach. As this team's rounding into shape, your first year at the helm, you know, keeping these guys going with all the start-stop, I mean, how is it getting that continuity rolling?
Well, it's been great. I mean, it's been work in progress. I think when you add new players to a team, new coach, you know, and you're trying to learn your players and they're trying to learn you, it's work in progress. And, you know, that's kind of where we are as a ball club. I mean, we've been very, very competitive. From the time we made the trip to the Bahamas where we started to bond as a team, we've been very competitive on the basketball floor and in practice. And it's been a nice carryover in the games. I know we've lost three games, but all three games were winnable. and very competitive, man. So I'm pleased with the progress and where we are as a ball club, but we still got a long ways to go.
Coach, you're coming up in another month or two. You're in your one-year anniversary of going to Indiana. What's something now about college basketball that you didn't know then? You're like, boy, I wish I had known that going in.
I don't know if there's been much changes. You know, I mean, for me, coming back to Indiana, you know, I really never left. You know, people thought that when I was interviewing for the job and finally got the job. Hell, I've gone back to Indiana every year from wherever I lived. You know, I mean, I had business ties at Indiana, so I never really left. So it's good to be back, and for me, it's been great because most of the people that were here when I was there 40 years ago are still here. So it's made my
sense.
No, really.
Wait, no, are you kidding? Is that like
there,
the support
coach?
Staff? What do you got there?
No, I'm just talking about friends and business
okay.
people and bankers and people like that are all still here. And it's really made my transition a lot smoother. It really has.
Like coming home. That's a beautiful thing. And obviously, you mentioned the Bahamas trip and all the way through. Trace Jackson Davis, another big night, averaging 19.3, 8.2 for those, you know, just getting into the college bucket season. You know, how would you describe, you know, his style and what he brings each night?
Well, again, first of all, you know, I'm thrilled to death as his coach because he gave me an opportunity to coach it. You know, he was one of the guys that was thinking about leaving. And the fact that he gave me an opportunity, man, is really put me in a different light as a coach. And I couldn't ask for nothing better. I mean, the young man has given me everything that I've asked him. He's been very coachable. I've been able to challenge him. Our last game against Penn State, you know, he had 5 rebounds, and that's just unacceptable. And I told him that after that game, and he responded big time tonight, man, with 27 and 12 and 5 block shots. So he's improving each and every time he goes out on the floor, but a lot of it is the work that he's put in practice, and it's been a nice carryover in the ball game, and we're all benefiting from it.
I like how he said after the game that you know, he said he gets the message from you loud and clear because of your relationship and that you can call him out in front of whoever he wants. You don't usually get a lot of those relationships that are that good because it takes time to build those relationships in college, and it seems like you've done that in a really short amount of time.
Well, I don't have a lot of time. Hey, man, I'm 63 years old. I don't have a lot of time, you know. So, I mean.
No, oh, you got plenty of time. And they got the Bahamas that are waiting for you on the other side, right?
No, I get that. I'm jokingly saying that. But, no, I think if your best player is willing to be coached, then it's a trickle-down effect mm-hmm. in terms of everybody that wears that uniform, man. And, you know, I've always been that way as a coach. I just coach, and if the best player's not doing what he's supposed to do, it's my job to let him know. That's how I was coached, and I can't change from that regard.
Well, Coach, one thing I want to tell you before we let you go is that the last two guests we've had on college basketball were Buddy Boeheim and Matt Painter, and they both lost their next games. So I'm putting that out in the universe to kind of swirl that around for you so you can go beat my broadcast partner, Mike Harmon's Northwestern Wildcats, when you play them this weekend.
Well, we don't play Northwestern. We play Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. I had the schedule wrong. Well, then Minnesota. Put it out there for Minnesota, then.
And you putting all kind of bad vibes in the air, but that's not gonna fly well with me. So I mean, it just went It just went in one ear and out the other.
Good job, Coach. That's kind of how I deal with them every night.
Oh, Indiana head coach Mike Woodson, who you heard it here first. He taught R.J. Barrett that little step back off the glass three.
No, that's not true. That's so not true. That's a hell of a shot, though, boy. I'll take it all day long. Big win for the Knicks. Go Knicks.
Coach, thanks so much for stopping by. Congrats on the win tonight, and good luck this weekend against Minnesota. Thank you very much for stopping by.
Thanks, Coach.
Great stuff there. I thought they played you guys this weekend. Oh, I just had it wrong on the schedule.
He's going to come and kick your ass.
Well, no, he's going to get mad if they lose to Minnesota.
That's just it. He's going to be calling, finding the stringer and then Frostburg, and he's going to go up the chain.
That crazy-ass Knicks fan who was on the air told me we were going to – and we lost, and it's his fault. I can't believe that.
Man, I love that, though. Just the, hey, you got to get your number one guy, and talking about how he stayed, gave him a chance. You could hear what that meant to him as a coach going back to his alma mater and getting things started on the right foot. And now they're cruising, right? They're just finding themselves and in a good spot after a huge win tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you're 11-3, and you're rolling, and people forget Mike Woodson was a pretty good head coach with the Knicks, man. They won 50. They haven't won 54 games since he was there. Mm-hmm. Oh, good stuff. Congratulations, Indiana, and head coach Mike Woodson on that victory.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's have a little bit of power of positivity here for the next few weeks.
Oh, sure.
Because, you know, look, the last few nights has been about Antonio Brown and Baker Mayfield and Aaron Rodgers and Kyrie Irving, and it's been a lot of the same things for these guys. And we talk about being in fatigue with a lot of these.
Sure.
Are you fatigued about the Antonio Brown storyline? Because it's not a fun storyline. It's him quitting on his team and crazy-ass stuff that there's more things every single day. Baker Mayfield today lashes out at reports that he might want to be traded. Called everybody puppets. Mary Kay Cabot is a puppet. Master of puppets. So it's hard.
Well, I'm
right?
home you in get, time for dinner.
You get fatigue. Have him back by 8. Kyrie Irving, the same thing. Are we going to have another conversation about he's not vaccinated? Here, so how about if we're taking these four people out that we're fatigued on? How about four players that need more attention because of how they're doing on the field? How does that sound?
Oh, sure. Let's go.
All right. Now, I'll kick it off. The first one, because I mentioned his name a couple of seconds ago. We can replace these four guys. The first guy we can replace them with is Justin Herbert. We should be talking way more about what he's been able to do his first 2 years in the NFL. And I get it. He plays for the Chargers. They're the number two team in Los Angeles. And you know, look, the Chargers are playing the game of the week this week against the Raiders. It's a win-and-in playoff situation. But if you want to go crazy and say, look how good Mac Jones is. No, Mac Jones is absolutely nothing compared to Justin Herbert. What he's done last year and this year, I mean, you want to say that, hey, the next 10 years – the best quarterbacks in the NFL might be Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. What he's doing the first 2 years, we've not seen a guy do. We've not seen a guy do this the first 2 years. Even Mahomes had to sit his first year. Herbert gets thrown right in, and boy, he has maybe the best rookie year that we have ever seen in the NFL, and now he's following it up with a sophomore campaign that's even better. So, I mean, this is just some kind of thing, and we need to talk about him more.
Well, as we go through what he's been able to do between he and the year Austin Eckler had, I mean, you got to point that out, is, you know, thrust in, you know, cold 10 minutes before his first start, right? The unfortunate incident with Tyrod Taylor. Sorry, buddy. And just jumping in and never looking back. And the beauty of it is he's unflappable, right? He's just a guy that understands he's in Los Angeles, but it's not, hey, I'm in Los Angeles, right? There's none of that. In fact, there's video of him when they had him on the Jumbotron the other day trying to get out of frame. Just leave me alone. I just want to play quarterback. And I kind of dig that, because that's a guy that could be on local commercials all over the place. Hell, the local Subway folks could replace Trevor Lawrence and his, well, bad 2021, and I'll leave it at that. Replace some of those national ones and go local if they wanted to. And Herbert could pitch so many products at this point. He's just about trying to find wins, and what they're doing with the Chargers starting to get some push. Right now they're still third, because remember, even though the Raiders are in Nevada, from a fan standpoint, there's a lot of silver and black still roaming these halls. But more and more, more Merriman jerseys, more Tomlinson jerseys, and certainly a lot of Justin Herbert baby blues starting to make their way across Los Angeles.
The next guy I'm going to give you, because he has turned around one of the most moribund franchises overnight, is Joe Burrow.
Oh, sure.
Should be talking about Joe Burrow so much more than we do now. I mean, look, we talked about it. We told you how good he was going to be. Look, 2.5 months ago, the era of good feeling for the Cincinnati Bengals is here. They're going to be great for a decade because he is just that good. And now everybody's kind of jumped on that bandwagon understanding, okay, the Bengals are a good story. No, we should be talking about Joe Burrow way more than we should. Burrow and Herbert at the top of that list. Those are two quarterbacks that should be getting all kinds of ink. I get it. It's Cincinnati, but it's still such a good story that the Bengals have stunk for so long. They've been a laughingstock, and now here they are. They got just as big a chance to get out of the AFC as anybody else does.
Smoking cigars and all of that. You know, he's bringing back the old age of cool. All he needs is a brandy, you know, a little cup on the other hand, and away we go. They've got great talent there. Jamar Chase, remember all the, hey, this guy can't catch, what's going on here? They should have drafted an offensive lineman. Well, maybe not. As he said, just he's out there somewhere. Just throw the blank and ball up. And let him go get it. And that's what you're doing. Between he and Tyler Boyd and what they've got rolling, T. Higgins has been fantastic. You got three wide receivers, and Joe Mixon going to miss this game because of COVID. But he's a guy that came on in the second half. They upped his touch count. And you're looking at a potent offense. Defense still struggles at times. But they make just enough plays. And now you're looking at a team that should be, right? They're the best position to move forward in the AFC North for a while, right? Pittsburgh needs a new quarterback. Lamar can't stay healthy, and you got a lot of movement going on there trying to rebuild. And then Cleveland is, Cleveland.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, so there's two quarterbacks. I'm going to give you one more quarterback and then an NBA player. The other quarterback we should be talking about a lot more is Jalen Hurts. Okay, the Eagles are 9-7. Who thought the Eagles? I thought the Eagles would win about four games. I thought Jalen Hurts was going to be good. I told you to be a top five fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, he wasn't, though.
But the Eagles were going to stink. Well, I will take the trade that the Eagles are actually way better, and they're 9-7. I mean, are you kidding me? The Eagles have no weapons. They have absolutely no weapons. And Jalen Hurts continues to do enough every single week, and now they're going to the bleeping playoffs. I mean, it is amazing the lack of respect that he gets, that still Philadelphia is kind of embracing him at arm's length. Well, maybe we can get somebody better. Jalen Hurts got you guys to 9-7. You guys are in the playoffs. He does everything. He throws the football well enough. He runs for it well enough. He calls out the Washington football team for needing better security situations. Yep. We should be talking more about Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, we look at what he's been able to do as a runner. And look, now it's the question of can he improve on the 61% completion rate, right? 16-9, the totals there. But they committed to the ground game, and their defense ranked among the league's best, right? They are, what, sixth, seventh in terms of scoring defense or something thereabouts? So, I mean, you're looking at a team that got it together what are they? Right behind, well, they're tied with the Packers at 20.9 points allowed per game. So tied for eighth. So, you know, fantastic turnaround there. And then Boston Scott, some Miles Sanders went healthy. Jordan Howard coming in, and then certainly Hurts with his legs. Sirianni, while it's been an uneven and at times kind of hard to watch Philadelphia team, yeah, Hurts is a guy I'd push forward saying, all right, go get him someone alongside Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert and see what we can build in that division. Certainly you've got all the other ingredients, just improve his efficiency a little bit and get him another playmaker.
Twitter
and
at
finished
How About a
Top 10, buddy, by the way.
Hey, that's okay, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with, because I don't really take the LA said top five all year, but now look, I mean, he won 9 games. Me, the Eagles are going to the playoffs. I got nothing.
Yeah, they
and they're
are.
Going there. The last guy, I'm going to leave the NFL, and this is more of a player and team that needs to be talked about way more, and we need to talk more about DeMar DeRozan. I mean, I understand that what happened over the holiday, but he has jumped into the front of MVP discussion. He's 32 years old. We've seen the best of DeMar DeRozan, and he starts hitting game-winning shot after shot, and suddenly the Bulls are the best team in the Eastern Conference. It's not just, well, Zach LaVine's really good. Yeah, but oh my God, dude. I mean, we need to be talking way more about them. It's the return of the Bulls, and it's let's see all the old video of Pippen and Jordan. This means, I guess, DeRozan and LaVine are going to start fighting the entire time. Especially DeRozan and the Bulls, we need to have more discussions about them. Less about Kyrie and the Nets and how many more we have. Hey, the Bulls are back, man. The Bulls are really good. They're the best team in the East.
Good depth, and you got a guy as a leader, and he's a guy that is with his team, right? Leader and part of the locker room. You had Josemu Gwent and had his jersey retired at Illinois, and you had DeRozan went with him for the ceremony and was hanging out. Who does that? Go down to Champaign, Urbana? I mean, that's kind of a big deal. Want to make sure we do, and I could talk about the Bulls for a long time, because, I mean, you got a bunch of guys that are on their second, third, seventh NBA life, and maybe that, you know, post-hype sleeper thing we talk about when we do fantasy analysis. Same thing here. Guys that were expected to be stars elsewhere and have really built careers. I'm talking, you know, most extensively about Lonzo Ball when he's available and the player he became in New Orleans before coming to Chicago. And now with Billy Donovan, they've got something cooking. But also Ja Morant in Memphis. Now, we'll see what happens the second half of the season, but you know, he missed some time due to an injury, and they won some games and put together a pretty good streak. But if we're going to have an MVP conversation, there's a guy that needs right smack dab in the middle of it.
So there you go. There's players on Mayfield, Rodgers, AB, and Kyrie fatigue. The stories are tough. It's every day. It's drama. Blah. Four players who should get more attention. There you go. Burrow, Hurts, Herbert, DeRozan, and Mike Harmon, Chicago Bulls. Now he's gonna. Bulls. Now Mike Harmon's gonna go back and pull out an old Bill Wennington jersey and wear it to the show tomorrow night.
Well, I just might. You never know what's around the next corner, buddy.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.